Well, happy day after Christmas, the 26th. The question might be, was it all worthwhile? Now that it's over, all the packages have been torn open, all the wrapping paper have been discarded, and the kids are playing with the boxes rather than the toys that they were given on Christmas. I wanted to bring you today a short message on a very vital, very important subject, God's Christmas love gift of truth. God's Christmas love gift of truth. Read with me in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Father, we're grateful again to have another season of Christmas blessings and be able to come together and worship you, give you all of the credit, all the glory. We thank you for all the great things you've done this past year and years in our life. We thank you for the things you're doing now and the things you shall do in the future. We look forward to the day that Jesus comes back for us all, and we get to go be with him forever and ever. I pray now that you'd bless the message. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd put your hand upon it, touch it, anoint it, give it unction, and give it the power of God, the strength of God. I'll be sure to credit you with all of the glory. Jesus, my Savior, my God, my King, I look forward to your coming. I pray it's very, very soon. We give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. God's Christmas love gift of truth. Of truth. Pretty much a non-traditional Christmas sermon. But God's love gift is Jesus Christ. He came the first time as a baby, born to die for the sins of the world. He comes the second time as a warrior king, ruler and reign with a rod of iron upon the world. I want you to notice three things in our message today, and we'll be as brief as possible, but yet powerful. I came to an understanding of some things this week, or some circumstances that went on in my life that made me do some soul searching and made me really try to understand what the other person was having a problem and an issue with, which led to the message that I'm preaching today about truth. God's Christmas love gift of truth. Jesus is truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. But nevertheless, we're told in the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that in the last days, just before Jesus comes back for us again, that people upon the face of the earth would reject truth. As we go, for the mystery of iniquity, sinfulness, lawlessness, iniquity, mystery is something that is secretive or hidden but perhaps is already at work. The mystery of lawlessness doth already work. Yes, it is. Only he, refers to the Holy Spirit, who now letteth, will let. The word letteth has an idea of a dog on a chain, and you're in control. The dog on the chain can only reach so far. But if you let out the length of the chain, then he can reach farther. If you shorten the chain, he can't reach as far. He who now letteth. And the idea is that the Holy Spirit is one who keeps sin and sinfulness on a chain, a very short chain. Even though we see so much wickedness, we see so much immorality today, we see so much evidence of people being demonically influenced with all of the piercings, all of the tattooings, all of those things, they do not realize that it is demonically influenced upon their lives. So we find evidence of iniquity already working, but it's still on a short chain. Even though it's greater than it was when I was a young man, it's still on a short chain. But when the Holy Spirit is taken out of this earth, when Jesus comes in the rapture and resurrection, there will no longer be one who hinders and holds back, one who only lets a short chain on evil and wickedness. Now the chain is loosed altogether and sin is unchecked in the world. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he, the Holy Spirit, who now letteth, will let until he be taken out of the way. That's the rapture and the resurrection. And then, I want you to notice, and then shall that wicked one, understood, the wicked one. I want you to notice the preposition that. The word that is used as a preposition in this particular case, showing the exact one, the wicked one. The prince of peace, the prince of evil and the prince of false peace, the one who is the Antichrist. And then shall that wicked one. If we read in the gospel of, the book of 1 John, John writes and he says, there are many Antichrists in the world today, many deniers of Christ, but there is one that is the true Antichrist, the wicked one. And that's what he speaks about here. He says, iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, the Holy Spirit, will let until he be taken out of the way, the rapture and the resurrection. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, miracles, supernatural things happening, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Unrighteousness owns deceivableness. Unrighteousness, the preposition of, shows that unrighteousness is the owner of deceivableness. So when you participate in unrighteous actions, you are opening yourself up to being deceived by that sin in the process of thinking that it's fun, in the process that it is daring, it is something that brings about a joy for a moment of time, but it is very, very deceptive. You do not realize the wicked, evil, and harmful consequences of unrighteousness. Why? Notice after the rapture resurrection, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, unrighteous deeds. The Bible says that Lot was vexed with the unrighteous deeds of the men in Sodom, and the hearing and seeing and being around the unrighteous deeds of the Sodomites vexed the righteous soul of Lot. He was deceived by the power of being held as a ruler in the wicked city of Sodom. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish here, notice, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. The love of the truth. Truth owns love. Truth. Why do we have truth? Because of love. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So God tells you the truth about things because he loves you. Truth is the important thing. Truth is the value. God said there's none good, no, not one. That's a truth. That's a truth. God could have beaten around the bush and said, now you know all of your... all of your deeds and all of your kindness and your good things that you do in life are all very valuable and they're all very necessary in life. But perhaps when you meet your maker, you meet that deity in the by and by, it may not be enough to get you into the gates of heaven. No, God just plainly said, there is none good, no, not one. In other words, no one's good enough by their actions to gain admittance into heaven. That's the plain truth. Now, it came upon me this week because I have been accused of being too blunt, too brash with what I say, that I offend people and people don't want to be around me because I am so blunt and I am so brash. And I began doing some soul searching. I said, Lord, you know, this has been me my whole life. I don't understand. He brought to mind the scripture, in the last days they shall turn away their ears from hearing truth. And I said, but Lord, they accused me of just being blunt. If I could just sugarcoat it, if I knew eloquent words to speak and make it more palatable to them, then maybe they would swallow it. God said they wouldn't swallow it. You know what truth is? You know what bluntness is? Let's put it this way. You know what my accuser said? You're too blunt. You're too brash. You know what bluntness is? Do you know what brashness is in reality? It's just simple truth. Simple truth. That you're going to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. That's simple truth. We don't beat around the bush and say, well, now you do very well in life and you're a good person, you're a good man, you're a good woman. You raise your children and you've taken care of them. You're so good. You go to church, you give offerings, you just worship and you do all of those things. But, you know, I'm just afraid that it may not be enough when it comes time that you die and you find out too late that it's not quite enough. How about this? God said there's none good, no, not one. Simple truth. But that's too blunt. That's brash. I'm sorry. The simplicity of truth is what offends most individuals. Notice. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, why? Because they receive not the love of the truth. It's too brash and too blunt. I will not listen. Because they receive not the love of the truth. The simplistic manner of truth. If you're not washed in the blood, you're going to split hell wide open. Oh, that's so blunt. Oh, that's so harsh. No, it's simple. If you don't trust Jesus Christ, you're going to split hell wide open. That's not blunt. That's not brash. That's a simplistic viewpoint of truth that God said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's not by turnip greens. It's not by gold and silver. It's not by how many churches you've joined and how many times you've been baptized. It's all about the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're not washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to be in hell that fast after you die. Oh, but that's so cruel. No, that's simplistic. So people can say, you're blunt, you're brash, you're too bold. We don't like what you say. I understand. But I'm giving you the simplest form of truth that I know how to give you. And I feel compelled to give you these things because I am a prophet. I have a prophet's gift, and it is compelled upon me by God, whether you want to hear it or not, to tell you the truth in every matter that comes along, from how to raise your children, how to spend your money, what your soul's value is, and where you will spend destiny at the end of your life, whether heaven or hell. It's all a simplistic obligation upon me, given to me by God Almighty. And your words, your criticism, and your viewpoints will never change that. God's Christmas love gift of truth. The world's rejection of this love of truth. They don't want the truth. They want to feel good about going to church, and they want to tap their toe and maybe gyrate a little bit with their body because we have the worship band now that's playing so heavy and the beat is so deep it makes me move in my pew. And the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, the simple love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, and they shall believe a lie, that they all might be damned. The word damned means condemned. That they all might be condemned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Boy, that's plain and simple, isn't it? God's Christmas love gift of truth, he's given us Jesus Christ, who is truth. He's very much the personification of truth and is truth himself. They reject it because they say it's offensive. You must preach in a non-offensive way. And your preaching and your teaching is non-inclusive. You must include everyone. Oh no. But the Bible is very, very narrow-minded and offensive. But you talk about blood and gore, and we don't want to hear the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Oh, but we're offended at the blood, and we're offended at what you say about the poor Sodomites who were born this way. The truth of the matter is they were not born that way. We have how many different genders now, according to the government? The Bible only speaks of two, male and female. Oh, but you don't understand. You don't have feelings towards these people that are this way and this way and this. No. You don't understand that they have been brainwashed into where they are today. They were not born that way. God did not create them that way and then condemn them and talk derogatorily about them in having created them that way. God is not the author of confusion. The world's rejection of this love of truth, this rejection causes great delusion. In verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you find it said, "And with all deceivableness, all delusion of unrighteousness." Sodomy causes delusion. Lesbianism causes delusion. Abortion causes delusion. Same-sex marriage causes delusion. Sinfulness causes delusion in the eyes and the minds and the lives of individuals. Delusion. No wonder we cannot talk to you plainly and make sense with you. You're deluded. Why? Because you reject plain and simple truth. You've rejected it. They receive not the love of the truth. The love of truth is the love of God. Truth is given for one reason. God gives you the truth for one reason. Why? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Listen, God gave his Son so that you might know the truth and see the truth. Because God loves you so much, he gave you the truth. And in return, truth sends out wave after wave like the ocean, wave after wave of love coming towards your person as God sends out truth and love. Ephesians chapter 14, chapter 4 and verse 15. Ephesians 4:15, the Bible says, "Speaking the truth in love." Speaking the truth in love. Okay, when we say without Jesus Christ you're going to die and go to hell, we're not being hateful, we're not being bigoted, we're not being prejudiced, we're not picking out some and leaving the others. What we're telling you is the simple, simple truth. Without Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We have delusion because we've rejected truth. But you and I, as children of God, are supposed to keep on speaking the truth in love. The whole motivating factor for a man of God to stand in a pulpit and preach when nobody's there, the whole motivating factor week after week after week, when people come and go, when we have big crowds, little crowds, hardly any crowds at all, the number one motivating factor is the love of God that's been cast upon all individuals. The only thing that keeps us going is that God's given us an obligation to preach the truth, but we don't preach it with animosity. We don't preach it with hatred. We preach it with love. The only reason we preach is because of the love that God shed abroad in our hearts by Jesus Christ. The world's rejection of this love, the truth and love, the love of truth, the love of truth. I talk about the subject, love, but it comes because of truth. The truth of the matter is, you and I were pathetic when God looked through eternity and saw that there was no way we would be reunited with Him in any shape, form, or fashion. We were hopeless and helpless. God so loved us in our pitiful condition that He sent His Son to die for us and be that sacrifice and be that offering that would fulfill the requirements and fulfill the penalty of the law of sin against us. Do you understand that the love of truth is a holy love? It's a pure love. The love of truth that God sends to us is a righteous love, a non-conforming love, an unconditional love, a love that is everlasting, a compassionate love, a forgiving love. And yet the world has rejected the love of the truth. For He says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The second thing that I give you is this. The church is edified in this love of truth. Edified means to build up. It means to compact together. Edified means to be made as one in fellowship. It means one who is comforted. It means one who sees his purpose. It means one who has learned the scriptures. It's edified. You and I are edified in the church because of the love of truth. When people deny the truth and people began denying their teachers and their preachers to preach on certain subjects because it offends them, then we're denying simple truth all the way around. And when we do, we're in trouble. We do not edify ourselves. We do the actual work worse. We begin to cause disunity and tear ourselves apart. Ephesians chapter 4, once again, in verse 15 and 16, he says, actually the subject is in verse 14, that we not act childish anymore. That as Christians we grow and mature and quit acting childishly towards so many things. Look, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. In other words, we've been led one way and then another by our leaders who deceive us because we do not know the scripture, and because we are so childish, our emotions are on the edge. We run by our emotions and they manipulate us time and time again. And Paul says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, not by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, that we might grow and mature by the truth. You don't grow and mature on a fuzzy feel-good. You don't grow and mature on an illustration of puppy dogs getting run over. You don't grow and mature on anything else other than the precious Word of God, which is truth. The church is edified in this love of truth. If we obey the truth, we get the benefits of love. Notice he said in verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds and the uselessness of their emotions and their minds. Having the understand, they have their understanding darkened because they're separated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, that's filthy lust or lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The church is edified in the love of truth. He teaches us how to put off the old man after we've been born again, and how to put on. It's a choice. It's a decision to follow Christ in the spirit, not in the flesh or not by the emotions. You find that the truth here is Jesus. My Bible has an italicized word, I-N-N. Oftentimes in the King James Bible, when a word is darkened or italicized, then it means it was put there by the editors to make the verse more understandable. In this case, it does not do anything to make it more understandable. It takes away from it. The truth is not just in Jesus. The truth is Jesus all the way through and through. The last thing is this. When truth is preached, waves of love, like the ocean waves that just keep coming into the beach, again and again, crashing and rolling, wave after wave after wave. When truth is preached, waves of love exist. There you are, Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. As truth is preached, people began to get strength. They grow. They get spiritual muscle to endure hardness, to understand that things are going to happen in life, and yet we're not to be babies in Christ, but we're to be mature soldiers of Christ as things happen to us personally, to our families, and to those around us. We keep on keeping on because the love of God motivates us. When truth is preached, waves of love exist. How so? Number one, God tells you straight out that you need a Savior. He did not beat around the bush. He didn't flower it. It was like somebody told me the other day. They said, hey, what you need to learn how to do is take that bluntness that you give us and take that brashness and stretch it out and make it more palatable for easy swallowing. I told them, and I named a certain group of Baptists in the world today, and I said, I'm not one of those kinds of Baptist preachers that talk out of both sides of my mouth and then apologize for that which I have said. I don't know how to do that. All I know is the simple, plain truth. If it's blunt, live with it. If it's brash, accept it. It's not brash. It's not bluntness. It's just plain, simple, unflowered, and undiluted word of God. When truth is preached, the waves of love exist. God tells you straight out that you need a Savior. Look in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse number 10. God says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. God, why are you so blunt? Maybe there's a few righteous men. I know some men who are really good people. But God said there's none good enough to get into heaven. None that are without sin, none who's observed the law and fulfilled every aspect of it. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The simple truth is, you're a sinner in the eyes of God. You need help, whether you realize it or not. We could flower that. We could talk about the great things you've done in your life and the great things you hope to accomplish and maybe somehow, you know, that will alter the things of heaven and destiny there. But it would be to no avail because nothing alters. It's God says all your righteous deeds, all of your good deeds, everything you've accomplished in life is like the rags upon a leper's wound. They're filthy. They stink. It's putrid. Any kind of goodness you think you have in your life, God views as a rag that was upon the leper. Oh, that's pretty blunt. That's simplistic truth. That's what it is. God doesn't beat around the bush. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? Eternal life. I get it by being good, right? No. I get it by joining a church and being baptized, giving tithes and offerings, and being faithful there. Every time the doors are open, I get to go to heaven. I get eternal life. No. He said, through Jesus Christ. Do you think that Jesus died in vain? Don't you remember the Easter story? Jesus dying on the cross, raised again after 3 days and three nights? That's all about your sins. That's all about your evilness, your wickedness, your vileness, your unworthiness, your unjustness, your unrighteousness, your unholiness. Well, that's just pretty blunt. It's just simple. God saw you needed help. He knew you couldn't make it alone. He gave His only Son to die in your place and to die for you. That's pretty blunt. That's pretty simple. God tells you straight out that you don't have ability to get better. All your righteousness is filthy rags. But Romans 5:8 says, but God knows how vile you are. God knows how unworthy you are, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God tells you straight out, there's only one way to heaven. I hear so many preachers and denominations and different kinds of church organizations saying, well, you preach this way, we preach this way, and so-and-so preaches that way. There are several different ways to heaven. I don't find that in the Bible. I find the very simple truth is Jesus said, I am the way. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Simple. Not by this brand of Christianity, not by that brand of Christianity, not by this man's baptism or that man's sprinkling or that man's pouring or this one burning incense or this one lighting a candle. Not by those ways, but through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God tells you straight out, there's only one way to heaven, through Jesus Christ. But men have rejected that. Yes, they have. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 10. Men have rejected, notice, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Oh, those that perish have a common denominator. They've all been deceived. They've all been in delusion. They have all been in unrighteousness and unholiness. Why and how? Because they rejected the love of the truth of Almighty God that they might be saved. They rejected the only plan, the only way to be born again. God tells you straight out that about the secret of priorities. He says in John chapter 1, verse number 12, He said, as many as received Him, that's talking about me and you, as many as received Him, Jesus, to them, to us, gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, Only God can create a son. Only God can give life. And when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior and ask His forgiveness of sin, the Holy Spirit gives us a new birth. And our priorities should be to Jesus Christ, not to church, not a denomination, not a faith, not a belief, not a religion, but to Jesus Christ. And then he says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I'm afraid that a lot of people have their priorities all messed up. They're not seeking the righteousness of God. They're not seeking to please God. They're thinking about themselves and their own problems, their own thing. They want to do their own thing, their own way, and then they want God to bless it. No, that's not the way it works. God says you must have the right priorities and the right order, and then I will bless it. That's the way it happens. First of all, by believing truth and practicing truth. God's great love gift of truth came to give us life, to be born again, and to give it more abundantly, that we might walk in the love of truth and enjoy the process of life, as Jesus said in John chapter 10 and in verse number 10. He said, "The thief cometh," that's that wicked one, "the thief cometh for no other reason but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." God's gift is not finished, but just beginning. God's love gift of truth. Why are we so offended at the truth? It's simplicity. Oh, it's brash. It's blunt. It's cold. No. It's simple. It's kind. It's warm from the very heart of God Himself. Truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. How can you be blunt with the word of God? It's just simple, God-given truth. I challenge you for the rest of your Christmas holidays to measure your faith and to see where you are in tune with God and His truth. Do you get offended very easily when the truth is spoken so simplistically that it's blunt? No. I told someone the other day, I said something about an individual they were dating, young person. And I said, "If this carries on, this is not what God wants for your life." And I know that to be so. This individual believes nothing like you believe in Christianity. And this individual is of another culture altogether that will not be good to be placed in your relationship. Your marriage, if you go that far, then your marriage is already less than a 40% chance of making it work when you do those kinds of things. More of a 60% chance of failure when you marry outside of your faith and outside of your culture. Oh, but they didn't like that. But it was simple truth. Simple truth. Oh, but you're being, a prejudice. You're being bigoted. You're being, I know. They reject the truth and turn to falsehoods and fables. I challenge you. Get the truth. Read the truth. Preach the truth. Teach your children constantly the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Father, for all your goodness. Thank you for your word now in Jesus' name.